This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Of course, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Construction Team. Make sure to give Innovated Construction an opportunity for your business, whether it be residential or commercial, industrial as well. You guys have met Randy and Stephanie through the show. Check them out at innovatedcompanies.com. 35-plus years experience, second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Without waiting any longer, let's welcome in my cohort in crime, Benji Molina, on the M4byYachty.com hotline. What's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let's get this show ready to go.
Well, I'll tell you, I think with every day comes many things in this offseason. When the highlight of the offseason, or not the highlight, when the highlights right now is everybody talking about how slow things are moving, that's not fun for fans. Now, what's interesting, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this. I'm looking at this going, okay, so, you know, we do this show. We're going to talk about Cardinal baseball. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. But at the end of the day, and I was telling somebody this kind of last night because, you know, they had asked me what I thought. And I said, here's the problem. You know, fans want something done, right? Now, whether something gets done or not really isn't up to us. It's up to the GM. It's up to the, you know, the all the guys, the president, vice president, you know, Mo Gersh, these guys, you know, getting DeWitt involved. They're looking at all this kind of stuff. But what really hit me was this. It's January 11th, okay? I mean, there's a lot of guys available, and I have no idea who we're really in on, who we're not really in on, but the market is what the market is, right? So I don't know why we're getting so upset. I think we're upset because we've kind of caught some song and dance in the past that it's kind of turning into a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me situation. So I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, okay, can we really be done? And I have a new theory why there's no way we're not going to add a closer. And I'll give that to you in a minute. But on this note, like, you know, Are you at all like looking at this thing going, well, the Cardinals not being active tells me that they're done? I mean, is it even, are we losing sight of the fact that it's only January 11th and there's a lot of guys available?
I'm going to tell you this. I think we are probably worried because it's January 11th. That's why we worry. And February is right down the street. So I think that's why everybody is worried. But like we said before, Jimbo, in the other shows, as long as those guys are still out there, we still have a chance to sign them. It doesn't matter. I told you guys the story about me signing 1 week before spring training for Toronto Blue Jays. And it could happen this year because everybody is cheering for their money. They want their highest paid and all that stuff. So it could happen this year. And there's a lot of people out there still available. So as long as those guys are still out there, that means the St. Louis Cardinals have a chance to sign them, and I'm okay. Now, if those guys go out the window and we're still in this position, I will be very worried. So With that being said, I'm not worried one bit until those guys are gone. So I know they're working something. I know they're working under the table, underground, and they're doing their best to improve their team. And I know they're doing something. So all we have to do is just wait and see how this plays out.
Well, here's my theory on the closer thing. I was thinking about this last night because our last show, we kind of took the stance of, okay, everybody, you know, a lot of frustrated Cardinal fans want to say they're done, right? A lot of people want to say they're done. So let's say they are done. Let's just say they are. The only reason they could be done is two things. Number one, and a lot of people may feel this way, they just don't want to spend any money. They're just not going to do it. Maybe they're right. Maybe they aren't going to spend the money, and the fans are going to keep coming, and they're going to keep making money, and they're going to pay for Ballpark Village with this extra income. They're going to do whatever. Okay, fine. You want to take that stance? Let's take that stance. Let's say they're done. So we did that. When in doing that, it made me realize something, because, you know, the pick we used was a pick of the guy that I think had a great year last year in Tyler Lyons. I think he performed really well in the bullpen. He seemed like a guy that when you brought him in, you had those feelings of he's going to lock this down, right? So, you know, is he the closer, or could it be a guy like I said, I think we had Tui on there who has done it in the minors. You have Gregerson who's done it before, but coming off a rough season, probably more suited for that seventh, eighth inning type situation. So you kind of look at this stuff, right? So it made me think about this. If the guys that we have right now were closer, were ready to be a closer, why weren't they ready just a few months ago that we had to go get Nicasio, right? And to that point, if we had to go get Nicasio and he actually did the job, then why'd we let him walk for, what'd he get, $16 million over 2 years, which is a lot of money for an eighth inning guy. But if you could have signed him for that and said, hey, listen, I'll give you that money, and then he comes in here and closes for that amount of money because you put him in a bull. It makes zero sense to me that they wouldn't have just signed Nicasio and gave him that money, because that's a lot cheaper than Wade Davis or Greg Holland are going to be.
Exactly. You just said it. That could be the only reason why they did not bring Nicasio, is because they're planning on signing somebody else. They're planning on getting a trade for Colomé or whoever is available, or they're going to sign a closer. That's the reason that they're giving us that they didn't bring Nicasio back, because I thought Nicasio was going to be there. And if I'm them, I would have bring him back and I signed a closer. And you imagine that bullpen with Nicasio and a closer, and then you have Reyes, like coming back later on, like a trade, you know, like somebody to sneak in and probably in the bullpen. I mean, come on, man. That would have been great. So, but what that tells us is that there's no way they're going to stay like this and they're going to go after a closer. They need it and they know it, Jimbo. I mean, we've been saying this all along. I want you to tell me something, Jimbo. How many saves did we have total saves, like overall as a team? And whenever you get a chance, just let me know. That's all I want to know.
So you want me to look up how many saves we had last year?
Overall.
Okay.
Like the whole team.
Sure, I can do that. So as I'm doing that, so I'm looking at like we were just saying, okay? Like, so you look at that. And again, I say this. If the guys we have now are capable of being a go-to guy in the ninth, then why'd we get Nicasio last year? And again, just throwing it out there. And people can say, oh, well, you know, guys are developing. Well, what are they developing? I mean, if you were gonna do it, and again, I know you're always trying to win and do all this kind of stuff, but, I mean, Tyler Lyons was lights out last year, right? I mean, he was awful good. So if you really think he could be a closer and you were struggling last year, why didn't you just make him your ninth inning guy? You know, so, again, kind of my theories there, so I'll go with that. Okay, so I'm looking at this here. And as a team, we had 43 saves last year.
43 saves as a team total.
Right.
Yeah, and how many did we blow up? Well, it's hard to say that, right? It's hard to...
Yeah, because of the way it worked, yeah. So
30 plus for sure, right? Because we were counting all year.
Yeah. 30
plus saves that we blew up. and you're going to tell me as an organization and as a team and as an owner and as a GM, as a president, you're not going to see that? I mean, like 30 plus, it could be more, but I'm just saying 30, but you're not going to see that? Come on, man. You have to see that. You have to. There's no way in the world they pass on somebody else helping unless, which I hope not. Unless they are counting on using Gregerson, and that was their guy.
Well,
which we all hope not.
Yeah,
but,
and that's a whole nother argument,
Mikolas,
right?
And then Mikolas will be their guy as the starter that they're counting on, right? So if that's their thinking, man, I don't know. I'm worried.
Well, again, so what are we going to find out here? What we're going to find out here, and I'm sorry, but, you know, where they're at right now, I don't even – listen, I'm going to say this. I don't even care if it works. It's not right. I've said – you know, I kind of said Monday, closers can emerge. I have no problem with that. I get that. They can emerge. I just don't know that you're in a position right now to say we're hoping that a closer emerges. Again, if you've got a really good team and you feel like, you know, we can do this or do that, they just, those guys don't grow on trees. Guys that can, and I don't care what the, and again, this is another argument, you know, guys are telling me that guys that pitch the ninth inning, okay, in those situations, I don't see them growing on trees that you can just go get them. And everybody wants one. And right now, I still think you have two guys available on the market that can do the job. Addison Reed and Greg Holland can do the job.
Yeah, and what is fair to say to the fans that during the course of the year, during the course of the season, one can come up. You know, one can step up and say and pitch well enough to say, man, that's my closer of the future. That could happen too. I mean, even if we start without a name closer, during the year, anything can happen and anything can just work out to the guy. And it could be Brevia. And let's say Brevia start throwing the ball well. They put him in a spot. They don't have a closer today. And he shut the door. And then he comes back. And the next time they need to close out the game, and then Brevia does it again. And then all of a sudden you found yourself that guy. And it could happen. You know, the fans out there, they need to understand that could still happen too. So the best way for us is to get a closer name, a name guy that can help us out closing games, because you go for the sure hand. You go for the guy who's done it. You go for the guy that is not bailing out. He's going to get 30-plus saves in the year. So that's the reason why everybody's worried, because we don't have that guy.
Well, and again, I just feel like, you know, you're not in a situation to take a chance on such a, what I believe to be an important role. And I'm not a dummy. I know there's people out there that think, oh, well, no, that's not how it works. The numbers say that a guy can come in the ninth, and if he's, you know, it has nothing, it doesn't change anything. It just doesn't change anything. And I'm like, okay. And then you have the faction of people who believe that your closer should pitch in the eighth inning sometimes instead of the ninth. If the heart of the order's up in the eighth, why doesn't the closer come in the eighth? You know, people say that all the time too. So,
well, Jimbo, not the people that say that. I'm sorry, the people that say those things, they don't understand the game. And we always say the same thing when we got this conversation about these guys that are saying this. They probably have never put on a glove. They never even played catch with their son or with softball with their daughter. They haven't done it, because if you have a little bit of knowledge, you know the game well, you won't say those things, right? So those guys, I mean, I'm not worried about those guys. We're trying to educate them, and we're trying to tell them from experience how we feel, from experience how it is. So I hope they get it, you know, because it's not that easy. It's not come in and shut the door in the night, and that's it. It doesn't happen that way.
Well, and again, if it was that easy, it wouldn't be so hard to identify guys that are really, really good. They don't grow on trees.
If it was that easy, we'd never have a closer getting $20 million.
No, I'd agree with that. I saw an interesting tweet today, and I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this. So this offseason that has people, you know, fired up because it's not moving at the pace they'd like it to move it to, it's taken an interesting trend, man. Some of the guys that have been signed, it's three-year deals. It's three-year deals. It's almost as if the owners are trying to do something here. I'm not saying they're doing it in collusion, which who knows? Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But it's almost like there's been enough bad contracts that in free agency, it's almost like teams are like, you know what? We're tired of big contracts because all we do is wind up eating the last couple of years, we just don't get anything out of it. You know, we're tired of eating money. We're tired of the roster spot being taken up because we have a guy that's not performing in the last couple of years of a five-year deal. It's interesting to me that, you know, I mean, really, Jay Bruce, Carlos Santana, Wade Davis, Chatwood, Cozart, McGee, Miner, Shaw, all three-year guys. And we got guys that are not signed, and we would have to believe why. Okay, let's look at this. Why is J.D. Martinez not signed? Why is Eric Hosmer not signed?
Because he wants 8 years.
Well, they want eight. Yeah, that's right.
He wants 8 years, and nobody's willing to give it to him. And or maybe they want 6 years, and nobody wants to part ways with to get with him for 5 years. Maybe they want 3 years, like you said. Maybe they want 3 years and an option. And they're like, they have an agent that goes right in their ear, no, we can get 8 years. We can get 8 years. Dude, if you don't have anybody that's going to be able to give you 8 years, why not take the 3 years and the four option? Or why not take the 4 years and one option? But why not? I don't understand. Why is the pressure? And then here comes spring training again, and 2 weeks before spring training, then you signed a two-year deal for $20 million because you're desperate. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm talking to you guys as a player because I will take 8 years today. I don't care. I'm looking for 8 years. As a player, you pay me $300 million, I will take it. That's not my problem. That's the owner's problem that was willing, and the GMs and the presidents that are willing to pay that money. The player has nothing to do. The player is a player, right? He's just going to go and say, heck yeah, give it to me. So what? Even if I'm not worth it or even if I am worth it, that's a lot of money. Give it to me. You're willing to give it to me, so let's do it. So with that being said, man, these guys, they don't see any opportunity to get 6 years, 7 years anywhere. And all of a sudden, they're waiting for it. I mean, it's amazing to see that people are waiting to get 8 years. I saw that in the paper. They're looking for a seven-year deal. I mean, maybe the owners opened their eyes, man. Maybe they saw what was going on, and they said, hey, listen, I'm not getting into that, man. I'm giving you 3 years, and if you want it, you want it. And I might go with four, but if you don't want it, bye-bye. We have our other guys. We have all their options. And this is what the players need to start thinking. My opportunity to make good money is going to slip away by saying no to this one, and then my 7 years might never come. And that's what's happening. You've seen it.
Well, I want to look at the market and what a guy like Benji Molina, and I'll give you my thoughts too, what I would do based on the way the market has now changed. Because I would have to say, I don't think it's a stretch to say that as we sit on January 11th, things are a lot different than we thought they were going to be in November when it came to player signings and where they're at and where they go. I mean, it's an interesting thing to say the least. So I am interested. And then next week, hopefully we get back on track with Mo's algorithm because I want to look at his sheet, see where he thinks we go from here and keep moving it forward. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody to make sure they they check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there. It's completely free. You can also do your shopping through Amazon there, and we get a very small referral. Just simply click the Amazon banner on the right on your computer all the way down at the bottom of your mobile device. You're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything extra. It just gives us an opportunity to cover some of the production costs. Please follow us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Happy to have you guys get involved with us on social media there. Find us on Facebook's our big ass. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page, and then simply click invite your friends. Go through your friends list, and anybody that's a Cardinal fan, invite them to like the page as well. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Like to connect with you guys there. And, of course, special thanks goes out to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Please give them an opportunity for your entertainment time. They will take it very serious, and they will have another podcast that I guarantee you, you will enjoy. Our social media partners, couldn't do the show without them. Special thanks goes out to the great Facebook pages. Of course, our friend and affiliate, Nate McHenry, who runs the Raleigh Squirrel Club. Make sure you check them out at RaleighSquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can be a member of the Raleigh Squirrel Club. Receive that premium podcast and, of course, all the great giveaways. Again, Nate McHenry, phenomenal job. Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, the great Facebook pages run by our friend and yours, Chris Lawless. Everybody loves Chris and his passion. Make sure you check them out and join. Arch City Sports from McLite just continues to grow and become one of the biggest names in St. Louis when it comes to sharing information and getting it out there. Make sure you check out Arch City Sports. Cardinal Freak's been with us since the beginning. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, and of course our newest partner, Everything STL Sports. Thank you guys for all your support of the show. Okay, as we look into some of these things, I wanted to do something a little bit different this week. So I'm going to do our own in-house heating and cooling by the Innovated arm there underneath innovatedcompanies.com. Make sure you check it out for all your heating and cooling needs, everything you need in the world of heating and cooling. You're definitely going to want to give them an opportunity. Check it out, innovatedcompanies.com. Benji, so my Twitter poll this week is just me and you because I think we're at that point where I want to get your true thoughts. So I said I was going to talk about this market. So now with the market getting where it is, last night we find out that Jay Bruce, who's a pretty good player, I'm not the biggest Jay Bruce fan, he's a pretty good player. He signs signs a 3-year deal for $39 million. Now, we didn't need an outfielder. So, I mean, we were never involved in any way, shape, or form in this. And I'm happy and I'm fine with our outfield, of course. I don't like Jay Bruce better than anybody we have, to be honest with you. I guess if you replaced Fowler with Pham, maybe. I don't know. It depends on what he brings. I don't know. They're different kind of players. It doesn't matter. Like I said, I'm anxious to see if Tommy Pham can replicate what he does. I really like Ozuna. And again, I think Fowler still has some things that he can do. And I think his, you know, once he came back last year, I thought he did really well. So I really wasn't interested in Jay Bruce at all. But I thought the price tag at 3 years, 39 was interesting. It kind of tells you where the market is. So if I'm going to start with the obvious name here that keeps getting thrown around with us, and that's Moustakas. What does a guy like Moustakas got to be thinking? Because he's got a little Jay Bruce in him. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. Like, he hasn't had a ton of great seasons, but he has had a couple really good seasons. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if Jay Bruce is 3 and 39, what's Moustakas? So there are some people out there that are under the belief that Moustakas, you know, for us would be an attractive 1 year, like give him more money, but only sign him for 1 year. Now, there are some people that are like, he's not doing that. Because then next year you got Machado, you got Donaldson. It just doesn't make any sense for him to do it. So I agree with that. Maybe it doesn't make any sense. But I'm going to ask you, if you could get that guy for 1 year, would you do it?
I wouldn't do it. I don't think he's any upgrade to what we have. I mean, what upgrade can he be? I mean, they're the same players, right? I mean, almost. Can he play a little better third baseman than Carp? Yeah, he can play a little third baseman. Can he be better than Jerko at third? Maybe not. Jerko had a 30 home run season too. So I know a little bit of a more value to him Moustakas has over our guys, maybe. But I wouldn't do it, you know. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't do it. I would rather go over half a Hosmer, and offer him a 5-year deal and good money, and you know, and see what happens. Because, like I said, like we were saying before, Jimbo, you were talking about the market. These guys are look at Hosmer. If the reports are true, that the Padres offer him 8 years. And then the Kansas City Royals offer him 7, and he haven't even signed with one of them. Come on, man! Come on, that's something has to be happening. Maybe it's false. Maybe.
Well, I was gonna say, do we believe it? I mean, if we learned one thing this offseason, I'm not saying this to be mean to any media guy, okay? Because the media guys, I'm sure some do. I don't think they sit around and make up stuff. I don't think that. I think I think there are some that might hear what they want to hear. I think there are some that are looking for any nugget of information to try to pass it off as factual. But we have spent an off season of guys that are quote unquote supposedly in the know. We have spent a whole off season of this with guys contradicting one another, and they're all supposed to be top national guys. Like I had tweeted out something one time that we had John Morrissey, or maybe it was Bob Nightingale. I don't remember who it was, but it was two guys. Oh, it was John Heyman and Nightingale. Within 5 minutes, they had tweeted out the exact opposite about a player. Like, oh, he's really – and oh, not interested at all. And it's like, wait a minute. Both of you guys are supposed to be national guys. You're supposed to have these quote-unquote connections, right, to the player, the agent, the team. And yet somehow within 30 minutes or whatever it was, both of you guys could not have sent out more of an opposite, a quote-unquote fact about what was going on. I mean, I think that – and that's went on more than once. I mean, we have seen it happen time and time again.
And what does that tell you?
Well
– And what does that tell us?
Well,
that it's not true, either one of them. I mean, we don't know.
They're
just trying to put something out there, so maybe they hit it.
Well, let me tell you what it tells me, and I think you're a fool if you don't look at this. And you know how I am about conspiracy theories. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory at all. I think fans, and the reason why we love rumors and we like this stuff is because we think, and we want to believe, that when something comes out about the Cardinals, that it's somebody that talked to Mo or Gersh and they told them. That's what I think we want to believe, right? But that couldn't be further from the truth. I tell you who they're getting their information from. They're getting their information from a friend of a friend, and they're getting their information from agents that plant this stuff out there in an effort to do a variety of things. Now, I'll never not believe this. Where there is smoke, there is fire. The problem is, when it's so vague, we don't know who the fire is stoked for. So, if it's leaked that the Cardinals are in on a guy, do I believe that there's a fire somewhere? Yes, I do. The problem is, we may not be the ones putting out the fire. We may have been drawn into the fire in an effort to get somebody else going. Which is like I think that's the Hosmer talk with the Cardinals. I think people go, well, why not the Cardinals? You know, they could move Carpenter to third, they could put Hosmer at first. If people think the Cardinals are involved in this, they've got money.
We don't need those people to tell us, Jimbo. We don't need science to know that they're what they're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for them to come out and say something very opposite of each other, what they're saying, it's kind of crazy, because we don't need to be scientists to know that they are after Hosmer, that they've been in talks with Arrieta, yes, because he's one of the main guys or something like that, you know. So it's not science, so it's easy for us to understand that. But what I get in my head is what you were saying about the opposite tweets. I'm like, I mean, those guys are either their sources are really bad or whatever it is. But, man, you shouldn't put it that way. And I mean, they look bad doing that. So,
well, again, it won't be the first time that the Cardinals or another club have been linked to a player. And behind the scenes, it's like we were never.
And let me tell you this real quick before I forget, Jimbo, for you and for the fans out there. I think I got a couple of guys. Now, it was just one, but now it's a couple. A couple of guys from the media, and baseball media, not anywhere else, because I don't know anybody else in the other sides. But from the baseball media, the main guys, the top guys, both of them told me that they get paid for the breaking news. You hear that? They get paid really good money for breaking news. That means that they're going to say they want to be the one that says it first. When you see the lines at the bottom and says, report it first by the patch, you know, the dispatch. Yep. Report it first by Ralph. I mean, those guys get money. So for them, sometimes, you know, it's easier to say, man, this guy is going to be traded here. And if they hit it, they're the first one to report it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
So that gives you an idea how this works, right? I'm not saying everybody does it, but a couple of the guys that I know, they do it, and they're always looking for that breaking news for that being the main guy that reported it.
Well, and again, I listen, this isn't just Cardinal baseball or MLB baseball. This is the way our world is now. We're reporting stuff all the time before we can, like, guarantee that the facts are 100% accurate. We are a rush to judgment society, and that's how this offseason feels. Now, some of this stuff comes from what? It comes from history. History would tell you that this situation that you see would lead you to believe that this is the why and this is the how, right? So with the Cardinals, okay, and again, I've been as big a complainer about the front office as anybody, and I'll hold them to task. They have done enough shaking and baking and telling us this and doing that and all this kind of stuff to where I get it. I understand it. My only thing is this. I'm not saying anybody shouldn't be upset that the Cardinals don't do something. All I'm saying is there's no reason. Now, again, you're free to do what you want. All I'm saying is I'm not going to get upset today on January 11th. I'll tell you when I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be upset in about 6 weeks. If this is still where we're at in 6 weeks, I'm going to be upset. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
If this is our team going in, if this is what we're going to go with to start the season, and I'm going to be as honest as I can be right now, I don't want no bullshit about, well, now we're in a position that we can acquire a guy if we need to. I don't want to hear that bullshit. Even if it's true, I don't want to hear it. Because there's no reason for it. There's zero reason for it. Okay?
All you're going to do is piss off more fans. If you come out during the season and you're like, oh, man, we need a closer. Dang it, you know, we need a close. We need to go for a trade. Or if you come out in the season and say, gosh, man, we need a starter. We should have gone with the starter. Bull crap, man. Like you said, you had the chance right now to get your team better. Right now, this minute, before the season starts. So when the season starts, don't come up to me unless somebody gets hurt. And don't come up to me and say, oh, we need a starter, man, da-da-da-da, because that's only going to get people pissed off. That's all.
And again, I'm going to say this. If I'm going to be – and this is the next part of our thing. So in that poll, okay, basically you're going to go with no on Moustakas. The only thing I like about Moustakas, and again, this is after some careful consideration, is I do if all you're going to ask him to do is hit home runs left-handed and bat fifth, okay, or fourth, whatever you want to bat him, and he's going to bat behind Ozuna, and all you're going to have to protect him as a left-handed bat, and all you're going to do, and then maybe bat Yadi after him or something like that, if all you're going to do is ask him to hit home runs as a left-hander and you don't care about anything else, you know, play adequate defense at third, okay, do what he does, and hit nothing but home runs and drive in runs as the guy behind him, I can live with him. If that's what you're going to ask him to do. Now, that being said, it's not a priority of mine. So as I move forward into the question part of this is where the questions get interesting. So now we do the innovated electric questions. Don't forget innovatedcompanies.com. All your electrical needs, HVAC systems, residential, commercial, anything you need, one of the arms underneath the innovatedcompanies.com umbrella. Make sure you check them out. So I ask you this question, okay? If I told you today that we're going to go with the players on the roster that we have right now, would you be okay with that? The players, not the pitching staff, not the bullpen. The players over what's out there available, realistically available.
I already said it. I'll take my team right now and on the field. I mean, not talking about pitching like you said or bullpen, just the players. I'll take it. I'll go to war with this team. This team last year proved that they can score runs. I mean, what they didn't prove was they can close out games. So you asking me if I go to war with this team that we have right now? Yes. Heck yeah, I'll go to war with this team. I mean, can we use another bat maybe, you know, something? Yeah, we can use it. But I can go to war with this team right now. What I cannot go to war with this team, it's a question on the starting rotation for one more spot. We lost Lance Lynn, and another question is the bullpen. You know, the closing area where we lost more than 30 games last year. So, with the players, yeah, I'll go to war right now.
I mean, I'm just trying, and that's kind of where I'm at with the whole thing. Is like, okay, so If this is it, I'm good, right, with the lineup. Where I'm not good is the pitching. And this is where, to this point, I'm in that same old Cardinal bunch of what they've given us to this point. Now, as I look at this, here's my question. There's a lot of people out there that don't want Jake Arrieta, okay? And surprisingly, they're all like, I mean, I'd rather have Lance Lynn. So my question is, why would you rather have Lance Lynn?
No.
Why? They're basically almost the same age. Anybody that thinks Lance Lynn's as good as Jake Arrieta has lost their mind. They've lost their mind.
Yeah.
He's not. He's just not. So how
not
in
good.
The world
not,
could you
not.
Advocate for signing Lynn and not Arrieta? That I don't understand. I don't get it. So you're going to have to help
Dude,
me
if
here.
If we sign Arrieta right now, I bet you anything we'll finish first in the Central. And this is coming from a player, right? I mean, I play. I know what a team needs. I mean, I have an idea. I don't know everything, but I have an idea. And if the Cardinals go out and sign Arrieta, unless something happens with being hurt and or whatever, you know, that could happen. But if he doesn't get hurt and nobody gets hurt and everything goes well, we're going in the playoffs, dude. We finish first in that division. We'll beat the Cubs. We'll beat Milwaukee. Having Carlos Martinez and having Arrieta as a 1-2 punch, come on, man. Come on. I hope the Cardinals are paying attention to that, because that'll get us over the hump, even if you have to pay a little extra money, which we always say the money's not the issue. So even if you have to pay a little extra to the guy, man, if I had Arrieta in my team, holy moly, be aware of the Cardinals, bro. I'm telling you.
So I'm with you on that. So if you look at the pitching staff, the Cardinals could – listen, I'm like this with the whole thing, okay? And I hate to say this, but if the Cardinals want to take the tact of – there's been plenty of teams that have had these young pitching staffs with all this quality young arms, and that's – they want to lean on that. And throughout the year, they're going to lean on that. And if that's their tack, that's fine too. But just that'll be – I mean, the problem with the Cardinals is you don't know if that's their tact or if it's money at the end of the day. You really don't know. Now, I will say this. They dedicated 5 years to Mike Leake, and it didn't work out for him. You know, so maybe you do get a little gung-shy with things like this, because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, the problem is when things work for you, you get the benefit of the doubt. And when things don't work, it makes you gun-shy. But then when you don't do anything and it works out for somebody else, it just – I mean, again, we're back to – when it comes to pitching in the starting rotation, fans are going to be upset that the Cardinals didn't sign Max Scherzer. He's a local guy. He had – I mean, if you believe the reports, he would have enjoyed pitching here. And the Cardinals really didn't even make him an offer, right? So you're sitting there going, if you're not going to make an offer for a guy like that, what are we doing? Right. So if that's their MO, like we've got this young pitching and we're going to lean on this young pitching, and that's why we signed Mikolas as a fallback and back end guy, whatever. Well, then I don't know what to tell you. The problem is that if you look around the league at the teams that are successful, they've got a 1 and a 1A or a 1 and 2, and then they're always out looking for another one. Right. I mean, that's the thing.
That's exactly what I was going to say, what you just said. Look at the Astros. They just won the World Series. They didn't just miss the playoffs. They didn't went to the playoff and got you know, lost or whatever. They eliminated. No, they won the World Series, and they still adding pitching, and they still adding players to their club, bro. They still trying to get Gerrit Cole. I don't know if they got him already, but they still trying to get Gerrit Cole, man. You believe that? Like, look at the Rangers. The Rangers have Scott Hamels. The Rangers have all these good pitching, and they still after Drew Darvish. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, everybody understands what they need. Everybody understands what they need. And I don't know who obviously is doing the advising in the Cardinals. I don't know. I don't want to question anybody, but dude, if you're the Cardinals, you have to know that. You have to know that your bullpen destroyed your games last year. I mean, that doesn't mean this year is going to be that, but at least you address it. You address that bullpen because you know it could hurt you. And you lost Lance Lynn, so guess what, buddy? If you don't have anybody prepared from the minor leagues, you have to go out and get a name guy. A name guy, because it's the St. Louis Cardinals we're talking about here. We're not talking to the AAA Springfield. We're not talking to the AAA Memphis, whatever. And Springfield AA, whatever. We're not talking about that, bro. We're talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, 11-time champs. So we got to go out there and try to get the best we can, man. The best is out there. At least show the people that you're doing it because you need it. You're not doing it for fun. If we had a good closer right now, and if we had another good starter like Lance Lynn already in pencil in as a starter, I don't worry about it. We don't worry about it, but we don't have it. So act like you don't have it and go get it, right? I mean, that's what we're trying to say. And we all hope and pray they're doing the right thing. We all hope and pray that they're doing that. They're going after guys, and that's what we hope, you know?
Well, it is what we hope. Now, I'll say this. So it's simple. That's my feeling on it. I for anybody that thinks Jake Arrieta is no good, I mean, really, come on. So anyway, whatever. I mean, we can have this conversation all day long. It's silly, but you know, the reality of it is, if you gave me Jake Arrieta in our rotation right now, and then you had the rest of it filling itself out based on where guys were and how they did and everything like that, number one, you're automatically better. So that's number one. Number two, the bullpen. Okay, so let's look at this bullpen. Okay, people freak out over like the usage and the guys. Number one, guys pitch a lot out of the bullpen. Number two, it's not a healthy thing to do, folks. Okay, pitching every other day, every day, throwing, warming up, it's not healthy. It's not right. Okay, if you know anything about this, it's not right. Okay, so you know, running guys in the ground, these guys want to pitch because their life in the big leagues.
Look at our team, Jimbo. Look at our team last year. Do you think that was easy?
No, and that's the thing, right? I mean, it's not like, I mean, here, the way your games go and your starters will dictate how often these guys have to come in. So as I say that, know this. Guys that get stuck in relief that aren't guys that are there temporarily until they become starters, guys that are there now by default, their career is not long anyway, most of them. I mean, you'll get some outlier guys that make a career out of it, and for some reason or another, just like a car, they've managed to stay healthy. Okay, if they had figured out how to these guys, if there was one thing or two things that were perfect about this, they would have figured it out already how to keep these guys healthy. They don't have it. Like, it's not there. There's not one thing. It's not pitch count. It's not this. It's not that. It's a combination of a lot of things, and some of it is just, it's just certain people's bodies are different, okay? So, but what we do know is that throwing all the time off of a mound is not healthy. That we know, okay? There is no way to do it the way it should be done, and that's a guy pitches every 3 days. That's just not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen because that's what the job is. The job means you're not going to play long. Most of these guys, their career, most bullpen guys, that's what they are, unless you're a lefty specialist, their careers are not very long. They're in and out, okay? Varying degrees of success. That being said, let's look at our bullpen. So the guys that we would want to count on, we signed Cecil, just not very good. Last year, I didn't like it from the beginning. People can say he's had good moments, like he didn't try. That's fine, and I hope he does bounce back. There's nothing that excites me about Brett Cecil, and the reason he doesn't excite me is because he's left-handed and he couldn't get left-handers out last year, so that doesn't excite me. Now,
that's one thing we hope to get better last year, from him, and I think he's going to be better with the year here. So I think he's going to be really good in the bullpen. Hopefully he's really good. We need him. I think Tyler Lyons is going to keep having what he is. He's a good pitcher. He's going to keep doing that. He's deal out there. And I think Brevia, they need to be considered really serious because I like this kid. I know he had some moments last year where he didn't locate the fastball. He got hit around pretty good, but I like that kid. So if we have those three kids pitching good out of the bullpen, Gregerson, I don't, nobody knows how he's going to be. You know, he's just a normal guy, normal veteran guy, actually. And who else do we have in the bullpen right now? Pencil in.
Well, Tui. I'd say Tui's in. Based on the fact, based on numbers, I'd say Tui's in, right?
Yeah, he has to be in. He has to. That's another guy that could actually be our closer.
Sure.
You know, so.
So let me give you this thought. Think about this. If Tyler Lyons is your eighth inning guy or your closer, if that's how it works out, Cecil better be able to get lefties out. Because
I'm going to tell you this, Jimbo, and I said it last show. You don't have to have a closer right now. You don't have to name a closer. I'm sorry. You have to have a closer. You don't have to name one right now because you don't have it.
Right.
So for me, like I said last show, if I'm Mike, I will be excited to get a closer. But if I don't, I will not get too excited to call somebody our closer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think we discussed that last show. I don't want it. I'll go with the flow. Maybe opening day, Brevia is the guy that has to close. But then Friday off, and then here comes Saturday, and then you get two lefties out of the three, and then you get Tyler Lyons to close the game because the lefties are coming in. Then you get the Sunday, you get two righties and a lefty, and then you get Gregerson up for the night because the guys are bad sliders hitters. They don't hit the slider well. So you get Gregerson up for the first two, and then you finish the game with Cecil or with Lyons for the lefty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
way better if you don't have the closer.
Well, I do. I think where I was going with it was, you know, as we see all too often now, we're going to a lefty in the sixth inning to get a big left-handed hitter out with runners on base. You going to bring Lyons in for one hitter in the sixth? No. So that's my point. Who's going to do it?
But those are the decisions that Mike has to be accounted for. You know what I'm saying? Remember we had
conversation
about.
I do, but that's my point, Benji. How do you hold Mike accountable for that? If your two lefties are Tyler Lyons, who you hold for the eighth or ninth, and Brett Cecil is your other left-hander, and you need to get a left-hander out in the sixth, and Cecil can't get left-handers out. So how is that Mike's fault?
You might have to. Yeah. No. I'm not trying to blame. You know, like Mike.
I know you're not. I'm saying though, that's what we're faced with.
I'm not trying to say that Mike's fault or anything. I'm just trying to say like those are the decisions that he could be accounted for, right? Those are the decisions that if you're gonna criticize the manager, there you go, making the lineup, using the uses of the bullpen, bringing guys when you don't have to, things like that. Those are the reasons. I'm not trying to blame him, right? But you're right. But in the sixth, you might need a lefty. But in the seventh, you might need a lefty. In the eighth, you might need a lefty. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let me tell you guys this. When we won in 2002 in the Angels, we did not have a left-hander pitcher in the bullpen. I'm going to say it again. When we won the World Series in 2002 with the Angels, we did not have one left-hander in the bullpen. So it could be done. That's why when we were discussing that guy from Brian Shaw, remember, from Cleveland?
Yes.
And we were saying how good he was against left-handers and stuff. That's what I meant. Like, we can have all righties in the bullpen as long as they get lefties out. Because you can have Cecil in the bullpen and he cannot get any freaking left-handers out. So instead of bringing Cecil for the lefty, you better off bringing a right-hander to get out a lefty because he gets them out better than you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So sometimes it works that way too. So we don't have to have a lefty. You don't have to bring that lefty in the sixth inning. You can have a guy that gets lefties out. That's money too, man.
Well, that's all I was saying. That wasn't a Matheny defense. It was a I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the best manager on the planet, whoever you think that is. Insert whatever name you want. I don't care who it is. If your two options are Brett Cecil and Tyler Lyons is your eighth inning guy or your ninth inning guy, well, guess who better get left-handers out? Somebody else. And that's
yes,
why
sir.
You brought Cecil
yes,
here. Now, we'll see, and everybody thinks he's going to be better this year. He better be. I can promise you that. He better be.
And let me tell you, Jimbo, real quick, you know, last year the playoff was going on, and I was looking and watching the games, and every game, every single game was decided from a right-hander pitcher to a left-hander batter. Think about it. Every time I was watching the game, I always pay attention. I'm a freak of baseball, so I always pay attention to the little things. So I was paying attention. Every single situation that the team had a chance to score, like 90% was a lefty hitter and a right-handed pitcher. And when you had the pitcher that get the lefties out, they didn't score. They had no trouble. When you had the other situation, when the right-hander couldn't get the lefties and the lefty was having trouble, oh, man, it opened up the gates, you know, the floodgates for runs. So that tells you, that was last year. That tells you how important it is to have a right-hander or two in the bullpen that can get lefties out. That way you don't have to do what you just said, you know, and think and say, okay, Lyons is my 18 guy. Okay, I got to use Cecil for this lefty. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you have a right-hander that is getting lefties out at ease, because I've seen it, why not bring that guy, right? I mean, that'll be the opportunity for St. Louis to think that way, because when Cecil was having trouble, dude, you can't bring all both lefties in the 6th and 7th, and then in the 8th and 9th, the most important innings, you don't have a closer, and you need a left-hander, they're all gone. And I saw it many times happen last year. I'm like, dude, the 8th and 9th is more important than the 6th and 7th. Hold on to those guys and see what happened in the 8th and see what happened in the 9th, man, because you got to get people out. Oh, yeah, but two lefties were coming. I don't give a crap. Bring that righty that gets lefties out, and you'll be fine for the 8th and 9th. So if you don't have those guys, then you just don't have a bullpen, like we were saying, right?
Well, no, yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, and again, I'm back to this. I mean, what role does Cecil have then? I mean, he's in. He ain't going anywhere, right? So your bullpen right now, as it sits, Cecil, Revia, Tui, Lyons, right? Gregerson, and plus one, right? So
yeah.
We're hoping that plus one is somebody like, you know, Holland, Addison Reed. See, you know, my guess is it's Addison Reed in the end. I just think, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's my guess. I don't see, I mean, I'm of the belief, I don't know. I mean, some people do, some people don't. I like Derek Gould. If he starts harping on a guy, sometimes there's a little smoke there. He's not I wouldn't call him a national guy that, you know, he covers the Cardinals.
I like Colomé too.
Yeah, I like Colomé. I just, you know, I'm of the opinion that, you know, that if he was going to get traded, why hasn't he been traded? I mean, prospects are cheaper. Yeah, but prospects, you know, when you want to trade prospects versus signing a guy, right? I mean, here's the deal. Here's the problem. But here, let me run the scenario by you, and any fan that can chime in and say whatever they want. If Greg Holland and Addison Reed sign a free agent contract, let's say I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's say one of them goes to the Cubs because they need a closer, right? So let's say Holland goes to the Cubs. Let's say Addison Reed goes to Washington. Okay, because everybody needs – they need – everybody – there's lots of teams that like to have a closer, right? So they go there. What happens to the price for Colomé? It goes up. It doesn't go down. It goes up. There's no closers left. So now if you want one and you got to go trade for him, they're going to go, okay, price just went up. So that's my point. If you're going to trade for him, why haven't you done it?
because they want more guys, or maybe they want the guy that you don't want to do it. Maybe they want, like you said, maybe they're waiting on something. Maybe they're waiting on the other guy. Maybe they don't want. Maybe they don't want Colomé. Maybe they want Holland, or maybe they're waiting. So there's many reasons why they haven't done it. I mean, that doesn't scare me. The guys are still out there. That's what I was saying. But I just hope, I really do hope that they get a help in the bullpen. Addison Reed, I'll take him, man. He's a really baller. He can pitch. And I'll take him any day. And you know what? I don't even make him a closer either. I would say, hey, man, let's go with a closer by committee. That's what I would do if I'm the Cardinals this minute. I would say nobody's my closer. We don't have a closer. You know what? Who's the closer is? Tyler Lyons, when we need two lefties out in the ninth. You know who my closer is? Whoever, you know, comes out in the right-hander that comes out, and Thule, and he my closer, because the three righties that come over, we need him out. And he has a nice sinker, and he throws hard, and whatever you want to call it. That's what I want to go. But if you can get a closer, we should get it.
Well, we'll see, because all we're really talking about at the end of the day is trying to strengthen the overall bullpen, right? I mean, because in the end, that's the issue.
Yeah, that's what I forgot to say earlier. I forgot to say that if you're the owner, if you're the GM, what do you look on your team to get it better? And Mustakas was, we were talking about him, and if you're the GM, if you're the owner, and you're those guys, and you're thinking about Mustakas, does he make your team better? Oh, I don't know. Maybe just the same. Maybe you don't know. You don't get him. You either, okay, Hosmer, does it make your team better? Yes. Hosmer makes your team better. Your team competitive, more way better than what we were before. Yes, you get that guy. Does Greg Holland make our team better? Yes. Go for him. You know, whatever other closer that doesn't make sense, and does it make the team better? No. Okay, well, you don't get him. That's what I hope that they're thinking, that they see our club, overlook our club, and say, do we need a closer? Yes. Do we need somebody in the starting rotation right now? Yes. Would that make us better? Yes. That's what I'm hoping for, you know?
You would hope, to be completely honest with you, that that's how they would look at it. Because, again, I've said this, I'll say it again. I'm not sure how you don't look at this and say, man, look at our roster. What's missing? What's missing?
Yeah.
What's missing? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. I'm sorry to look at it and go, I can tell you what's missing. A guy that we feel really, really good can close in the ninth. Not a maybe. We feel good that he can do it. We feel really good that he can do it. And a guy that, like, every time he goes out, we feel really confident, like we do, almost to some extent, like when Carlos Martinez pitches. We just believe it.
Yeah, and then we got lucky that Carlos went out and threw seven almost every time. Because I'm going to tell this to the fans out there. I think you know about it, but I'm going to tell the fans. When you have guys that throw five innings, four innings, that bullpen is going to hurt. I don't care who you are. The bullpen is going to hurt. You know, when you have guys, two or three guys that go seven every single time out there, your bullpen's fresh. The bullpen is going to perform to the top. But if you have a guy that in the first week of the season, first week, you have five games in the week, and those five games, he threw four games, man, come on, man. By the end of the year, he'll be gassed by August. So that's why it helps to have guys in the starting rotation that pass the six, go into the seven, go into the eight. Why do you think those bullpens in Nationals are good? Because Gio goes six, seven every time. Because Scherzer almost complete games all every single time he goes out there. That's a day off of the bullpen. Why you think bullpen in Dodgers is good? Because Kershaw goes almost complete games almost every single time. And they got guys that can go seven. They can go whatever. That's why they're good, man. That's why the bullpens are good, because they're rested. So we need those guys, man. And right now we have Weaver. We have Flaherty fighting for a spot. We got Mikolas, who used to be a reliever. We got Wainwright that's in the back end, right? You know, like, he might still be good, but you don't know if he's going to go five innings every time out like he did last year. And you have to be thinking all that, man. You have to be thinking of long relief guys, guys that can pitch 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row without a problem. You have to think all that when you don't have the starters that go eight or seven or eight innings. If you're the manager, you better start thinking of it, right?
Yeah, and again, what we're really talking about here at the end of the day is the way the roster's constructed. And again, I've said it once, and I'll say it again. Right now, the way I look, I still see a lot of maybes, and I hate maybes. I understand you have to have some. I always felt like the Cardinals did a good job of having a lot of guys you felt like you could count on, and then they would sprinkle in the maybe guys. But, man, what we have changed to the last couple years is almost every guy is a maybe guy. And
you know why?
Well, please tell me.
Do you have any idea why? I mean, you might agree with me, but I'm going to say it. You know why? Because they went young.
Sure.
When you go young, these things could happen. And it's very, very true. When you go young, these things can happen. Let me tell you, Jimbo, when those teams are Cardinal teams that you see in the highlights, who do you see? You see Scott Rowland. You see Reggie Sanders. You see Edgar Renteria. You see that second baseman, I forgot his name, Vina. You see David Eckstein. You see in the highlights, you see David Freese, which is a young guy, but still look like a veteran player out there. You see Jim Edmonds. You see Ozzie Smith. Dude, those are veteran players. Those are veteran players. Who do you see on the mound when they show the highlights? Chris Carpenter. Who do you see on the mound? Bob Gibson. I mean, obviously, that's not fair to compare him, but Wainwright when he was young, obviously. I mean, you see that, man. You see Isringhausen, a veteran, closing games. I mean, come on, man. It's not hard to figure it out. When you go young, you're going to have these games. You're going to have these years. But if you go out there and you get your veteran players, the guys that me and Steve-O call ballers, I bet you anything, you will not have trouble. You will not have these years, you know, that we're having now. But if you go young like they did, I mean, the Cardinals went young the past 2 years in a hurry. Like, in a hurry, they went young. And you know, listen, it didn't work out to go young. So I always said it. You got to have veteran players that have done it. And me, Ozzie Smith, which everybody loves in St. Louis, we had the same conversation. You got to have at least four guys or five in your lineup, we both agree to this, that come out and they're steady hitters. They give you two hits almost every single day. They go out and give you one RBI almost every single game. They go out and pitch. Whenever they pitch, they go out every single time. And you got to have that guy that goes eight innings every single time. And the winners' teams, they have it. And this is Ozzie Smith. If you don't want to hear Benji Molina, that's okay. But Ozzie Smith agreed with me when we were talking, the time I was there. He agreed with me. And he is a Hall of Famer, the best shortstop ever lived. And he agreed with me. You have to have five guys in your lineup that are coming to play every single freaking day and do numbers every day. And I forgot Albert Pujols. And I forgot Bergman. Those are ballers, man. Those are baseball players older, you know, like a little older, like in the 30s. We don't have that anymore. The biggest one that we have is Yadi and Wainwright. And Wainwright pitch every 5 days. Yadi is the oldest guy, you know, the older guy that plays every time and brings it every day. I get that. But who else do we have around? Carp is young. Wong is young. The young stage is starting. Jerka, he's fairly young. He's not a baller like older. And then you go Pham, had a great year. He's young. Then you got Fowler. He's 30. Then you got who and right? Ozuna? Ozuna is just starting his career. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you go through those things and you see that you went young, you gotta be trying to accept some years that are not being very good. That's very simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. When you were saying that, I looked at that 2011 team, and you wonder, where did things go right there, you know? And the truth of the matter is, like you said, and you finally brought it up with when you brought Berkman, and you know, you had these guys that were proven guys in this line, and they anchored the lineup. You had Yachty, you had
the
Albert.
Card doesn't play in that team.
You had Yachty, Albert. You had Holiday, you had Berkman. David Freese is down on that list because he was still a guy that we weren't sure what David was, but he did come through in the clutch there. So you add him in, and then you got something out of this guy, something out of this guy. So at the end of the day, for me, the way it all came out, and then you look at your starting pitching that year. You know, Chris Carpenter threw 237 innings. Jaime Garcia, of all people, threw 194. Loesch was 188, and Westbrook was 188. Well, what does that tell you? Kyle McClellan was 141, but we all know he got hurt.
Jimbo.
So that's my point. What does that tell you? When Kyle McClellan threw 141 and Edwin Jackson, who they went and got, I think, when McCall got hurt, threw 78, you brought it up earlier. When you have that many guys throwing that many innings, what's that do to your bullpen? Makes it better.
Yep. And let's get the fans a little idea. Do you think Carp starts over Pujols in 2011? No. Who was our second baseman that year?
That was it Schumacher? Was that the year they moved Schumacher? Hang on. Yeah, that was the year they moved Schumacher to second. And all he did he did was play well. You know?
Yeah.
All he did was hit.
Do you think Wong starts over him? No. Do you think that our shortstop, David Eckstein, do you think Paul DeJong starts over him?
Well, it was Terrio in 11. Uh-huh. You're thinking of 06. In 2011,
but
Ryan Terrio. Yeah.
But you know what I mean. So in third base, you go through that. And then you go through the outfield. All three of the outfields that we had that year, do you think these guys right now will start on them?
Well, the only guy maybe was when Kobe Rasmus was here, but yeah.
Well, but
yeah,
anyway,
I know what you mean, but Berkman and Holiday.
You go guys by guys.
You're right. Look at Berkman and Holiday. That's right. Look at Berkman and Holiday. What you would hope is, look at their stats. So, and that's the point. Let's look at Lance Berkman. He hit 301 that year with a 412 OBP, 94 RBIs, 31 home runs. If you got that out of Ozuna, would you not be happy? I would. I'd be happy.
Ozuna is not going to have any trouble.
Okay.
Ozuna is going to be great.
Okay. So, that's right. So look at Berkman, and I'm happy. And Ozuna's a better outfielder than Berkman, so I'm happy. Look at Matt Holliday's numbers. 296, 388 OBP, 22 home runs. If you got that out of Tommy Pham, and you could flip flop Pham and Ozuna between Holiday and Berkman, if you got that out of those two, wouldn't you be happy? I would. I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah.
Now the
heck yeah, you would.
That's right. The problem is, and again, let's say you do get that out of those two, who's going to replace the monster Albert Pujols in that lineup? Nobody. You can't replace that.
You got to win some other ways, man. When you don't have a Pujols, when you don't have a Chris Carpenter, when you don't have all those guys, man, you got to win some other ways. And I trust the Cardinals, man. I love the Cardinals. They have heart. They go out there every single day and have heart. They just haven't had that guy that helps them out in the bullpen, for example. They haven't had that guy that's done that job in the closer role, in closeout games. It hurt us last year. They haven't had that main guy in the lineup, the main guy. They had Carp hitting third, fourth, second, first, fifth, eighth. They have Wong hitting first, second, eighth. They got Yachty hitting fourth, third, fifth. We can go on and on with all the guys. They don't have that set guy, like you've been saying all along, that guy that's going to set up your lineup. Right now, we should be feeling pretty good with Ozuna in the lineup because it kind of set it all down, right? So we should be feeling really good. But the bullpen, it needs to be addressed. So we'll hope we hope that we all do that. But you can't compare those teams, man. They had ballers out there. You can't. That would be no fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's always made me kind of look at it and go, I mean, what are, like, who's doing what? I mean, man, 2011, what a year. Nick Punto, of all people. Remember Nick Punto? Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, it just.
Coming out of the bench, you have a veteran like Nick Punto? Come on, man. Seriously? Out of the bench? I mean, I like Rick Garcia. He could do his job. He could probably be that guy. He's a hustler, and he's always. You know, I like him. I like Greg Garcia. He could be there for me. But man, when those teams is really unfair to compare to right now. Because I mean, these guys were ballers, man. Right now we have a few guys in our lineup, Jimbo, that, you know, they're not. They're not ballers. They're good players.
Right.
And they do their numbers. Or whatever, they're great players, but they're not ballers, man.
Well, and again, I mean, you can look at the 2011 run in the World Series, and we won a World Series with John Jay playing center field. I mean, let's try to remember that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and then we got rid of him, saying that he didn't have the numbers, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, he didn't get on base enough, he didn't hit many home runs. He didn't stole many bases. He didn't hit 300. Whatever was our reason to let him go. And we just won the World Series with him in center field.
Yeah. No, listen, not everybody is – like, if you have a World Series where everybody hits the cover off the ball, well, think about it. But, I mean, if you look at it, it takes a village in all different ways. Lance Berkman had an unbelievable World Series. David Freese, great World Series. Yadier Molina, great World Series. A guy, you know, Albert Pujols, if you want to look at his batting average that series, wasn't great. But he put up major numbers. We all know the home runs and everything else that he did. But, you know, basically, you know, his OBP was high. But like I said, there were some guys that had a bat. Like John Jay was awful at the plate, but he played center field. They didn't have anybody else to play center field. They just didn't, because Skip Schumacher didn't do much better. Ryan Terrio wasn't
good. But they won it.
You know, again, Rafael Furcal didn't hit.
It,
that's right. They did. And they won it. Why? Because they had some guys that carried the mail. Who's going to carry the mail on this team? Yeah, he had a great series. So did Alan Craig.
They got everybody that did do maybe below average in the whole year average, you know, if you want to call it that way, below average. But they won, man. They won. That tells you they got a good chemistry. Now you're going to let go guys. Okay, his numbers are not good. We need a better player. Now you bring a guy that changed the whole chemistry. Now, okay, John Jay, we need to let him go, free agent, because we don't want to pay him $1 million. Okay, no worries. Let him go. He doesn't do anything, you know, like numbers-wise. We're going to bring this guy that has 10 more home runs and has 10 or 20 more RBIs than him. He's going to be good for us. Okay, here we go. But then you're hurting the chemistry. Here we go. We cannot sign Tony Cruz because he wanted $1 million for being behind Yadi and help him out with the pitching and all that. That was a great chemistry. Da-da-da-da. But you let him go because you want a better hitter in whoever that was, you know, that came in and was supposed to be the best hitter. And then all of a sudden, you change all these pieces that got you the World Series trophy. But you got three or four guys that you got out. And then you bring guys, new guys in that has no chemistry and it doesn't feel the same. And then you pass 10 years without winning a World Series.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
For sure. And again, I think all we were saying in that whole deal was really, at the end of the day, they had enough proven guys that it allowed for the proven guys, and they all don't do it at the same time. That's the nature of baseball. But they had enough proven guys that were able to come through and then sprinkled in with the maybe guys. And again, just like everything else, like DeJong last year, he came through when he got his opportunity. But not all guys do that. It's not a given that all these guys are going to do so.
And that was 1 year. That was 1 year. Nobody in this world can tell me what he's going to do this year. Nobody. Nobody can say, oh, he's going to hit 30 this year because he hit 30 last year. No. Nobody can tell me that, man. You got to wait and see. Because I see Terrace Long from the Oakland A's winning the Rookie of the Year and what kind of career he had. No, he didn't have a career. He played for 2 years, 3 years, and he was gone. You know, so I'm very hesitant when people say, man, that was his good first year. And I'm like, all right, that was a great year. That was a first great year, and I'm very happy for him. He did a job for us. But now it's time for him to show us the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year, and he can become a good player for years. But if you just have one freaking year, you're not going to fire me up, man. You're not going to fire me up. I got to wait for the second year that is good. Yeah, great, awesome. Now I got to see you third year. It's going to be greater. Oh, heck yeah, now you get me fired up. But for 1 year, I don't know. It's like Weaver. Weaver, I love Weaver. I love the way he pitched last year. He pitched his guts out. That was awesome. But you're not going to get me fired up for him yet because is he just half a season, right? Is that what he was?
Yeah.
Like, kind of like half a year. So let's wait for a full year. Let's wait for the second year, and then you're going to get me fired up. That's what I'm saying.
I agree. Well, I think all we've established here is that we're still missing a couple guys off of this roster that we can feel really good about. But again, we're talking about two guys that, in my opinion, and this is why I'll be upset, I don't think they're unattainable. There's guys out there that can help us. Again, I'm on record. I want Arrieta, and I want Reeder Holland, and I'm ready to go. Or Colome, but I just got a bad feeling. I don't even know that Colome will move unless somebody overwhelms them, which they might once these. Again, because as I said before, when the free agent relievers are gone, Colome's price goes up. It doesn't go down. So we'll see what happens, but I'm excited about the next few weeks as I just still don't believe we're done. Again, the Nicasio thing just strikes me odd that if you could have got him, and again, a couple of years, cheaper, that much cheaper. I mean, let's face it, it was a lot of money. He got a nice contract, good for him. $8.5 million is his average, so that's a good amount of money for a guy that's not going to close.
He should have got more.
You know, he's not going to close. You know, he's going up there to be the eighth inning guy. I hope everybody knows that, right? Now, but he is going up there to be the eighth inning guy, and I'm sure his value to them is, well, he could close if something happens, right? He's shown that he can close a little bit, albeit small sample size. Everybody thinks he's had a big sample size. He has not. He's only closed.
Wouldn't you love to have an eighth inning guy like him that can
for
close
sure.
too?
Like for
when,
sure.
When you're closer.
And that's my
closer.
Point. And that's my point. If you weren't going to sign a guy, if you are not going to sign Nicasio, you have got to have something else going. And if you don't, then you're going
to
get roasted for it because you are proving to be cheap. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no excuse now. No excuse. Zero.
Yeah. No excuse.
Zero.
You had that guy that could be your eighth inning guy, and when your closer needs a day off, that could be your closer right there. You have that guy, and he's not even expensive, and so, you let him walk away, a guy who's been proven and he did a good job, for $8 million a year. You let him go, but yes, you pay a middle relief $8 million for what? For 3 years?
I think he got $7 million. I think he got $7.5 million, Cecil. Yep. So we'll see. On that note, again, if they sign a closer and they say, well, that's how we feel about Lyons and Gregerson. They're going to pitch seventh, eighth, and if our closer ever needs a day off, we feel like one of the – then I'll be okay. Then I'll be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
you had X amount of money. You had X amount of money, and you decided to go with a guy that had closed more than Nicasio. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But you better sign somebody or you're going to get taken to task. And I think that's where we're at on this. The bottom line is Cardinals, in my opinion, have two holes on this team. People will say they need another bat. I love one. I don't think they need it, although I think anytime you could upgrade with a bat, you do. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, they have two holes. They need a number two starter, and they need a closer. If they sign Arrieta and they sign one of those closers, I'll be happy and I'll be ready to roll. I want to thank my friend
Benji. What I call that, Jimbo?
Yep.
You know what I call that?
What's that?
They need two birds on the bat.
They do. They need dos pájaros en el bate. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Yep. Two birds.
Yeah, I love it. Well, hey, I want to thank my friend Benji Molina for joining us each and every week as he does on the M4byYachty.com hotline. I know he enjoys doing the show and spreading the love with Cardinal fans. I'm excited as we move ever closer to the season. Enjoy all the feedback we get from fans. Again, love all the comments, love all the stuff, the back and forth. And again, I hope they're not done, but we shall see. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Share it around. Invite your friends to like it. We would absolutely appreciate that. Don't forget our social media partners. Again, these guys have done everything in the world to help our show grow, and we appreciate them. RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. Our friend Nate McHenry. Don't forget RallySquirrel.com, the website, if you want to be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Less than the price of a cup of coffee. Check that out. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. Mick Light over at Art City Sports, Cardinals Freaks, St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, everything STL Sports. We appreciate all you guys and everything you've done for this show. For my co-host Benji Molina and Steve Flowers, who's not with us today, we are Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.